praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. We do give each and every one a very warm welcome at our service tonight. And we trust the Lord's blessing each one this evening. For if you're tuned in from, may the Lord bless you. For wherever the Word of God goes this evening, may the Lord get all the praise and all the glory. I want tonight to bring a simple little message. God's simple plan of salvation. Now, this is really a message for the unsaved. If you have someone that's not saved, try and get them to hear this message. I know it's difficult sometimes, and I think it's well for us as believers. It's good to hear again the simple gospel of salvation of Jesus Christ. Let me read you this evening from John chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. And my main verse would be verse 7. But let's read John chapter 3, verse 1 through to 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. God bless you this evening. We're going to have a word of prayer. God bless you, Brother Joseph, over in Germany. The Lord bless you over there, brother, and any others listening in from foreign fields, Africa, maybe, and Pakistani. The Lord bless you all, and maybe Australia, America. God bless each and every one. Let us bow for a word of prayer. And if you have a need tonight, just give us a sign, a thumbs up or anything. I'm going to remember you in prayer this evening. Father in heaven, we bow before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save men and women. We know, Lord, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bless each one tuned in tonight, and wherever this message would go, may you use it for your glory and for your honor to save and deliver men and women. I ask that you bind every work of the devil. I ask for the Holy Spirit, and I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in Jesus Christ's name, and I thank you that you do. I pray for the people of Israel that you bless Israel at this time in the name of Jesus Christ, and bless all that's tuned in tonight. Save the lost, heal the sick, and get thyself all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Pray for those sisters with chest infections tonight. Think of me, own sister. I pray you'll touch her, and I pray you'll bless her, and I pray you'll heal her in Jesus' precious name. Think of the precious, my precious sister Jones, that you'll touch her and heal her, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And any others that need your touch tonight, may you touch them and heal them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. My dear friends and those that's listening in tonight, I want to ask the most important question of life to everyone this evening. And I know that possibly most on listening saved, but this is for those that is not saved. And for those of you that saved, then just pray that God will reach others with a gospel message. This question will be your joy or your sorrow for all eternity will depend upon this very question. The great question is, are you saved? Now, church. I'm not asking you, are you the member of a movement or the member of a lodge? Or you do belong to this or belong to that? The question is plain and the question is simple. Are you saved? Praise God. Are you saved? It is not about how good a person you are, but the question is, are you saved? No one can enjoy the blessings of God or go to heaven without being actually saved. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself in verse 7 of John chapter 3. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You've got to be saved. There's got to be a change. God gives us his word. And in his word, God gives us the one and only plan for salvation. There's not two plans or three plans. There is one and only plan for salvation. The plan is simple, and you can have it and be saved today. There's no such thing we have a new message and we're saved today some way different than people were saved years ago. That's false teaching. Jesus Christ remains the one and only way to God. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, ye may enter in. Firstly, there's one thing every single one of us have to realize before we ever can be saved, and that is that we are sinners. Every one of us must realize that we're sinners ever before we can be saved. If a man or a woman are not convinced and do not realize that they are a sinner, they can never be saved. Romans 3 and 10 tells us, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 22 and 23. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no chance to be saved unless you come to realize you are a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you're actually condemned to die. Condemned to die. Because you're a sinner. Romans 6 and 23 warns us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James 1, 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we see, because we're born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity, every single one of us will have to meet with death. You know, that's something all of us are going to do, except the Lord comes for us. Now, we do believe in a rapture. We do believe in the Lord's coming. But we don't know. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father, when Jesus will come. And I tell you, every one of us will have to face death. But to face death without being saved is a terrible thing. This means separation from God and hell. How terrible. Yes, my dear friend, but it is true. But yet God loves you and me so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as your substitute, as my substitute. And Jesus Christ bore our sins and died in our room and in our stead at a place called Calvary. That is why God sent his only begotten Son into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 tells us, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So not only can the Lord save you, but the Lord can heal you with the stripes or the wounds of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for your transgressions, and by his stripes you are healed. I tell you, that's precious this evening. Jesus Christ had to die. He had to shed his precious blood. be taken away. It is only through the blood washing, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, can our sins be taken away. We know the life's in the blood. Leviticus 17 verse 11 tells us, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the souls. There had to be blood shed so that atonement could be made. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, for almost all things are by the law purged with blood. But without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now we cannot understand really fully how our sins is laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is clear in his word, and God clearly tells us in his word that Jesus Christ became sin for us. My sin, your sin, was laid upon the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died in your place and in my place on the cross. It is true. And we know that God cannot lie. God's word is absolutely the truth. Jesus took your place and my place. Because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, we needed someone to save us. And Jesus Christ came and died and shed his blood. And the price of his blood shedding can save us if we'll only believe it and accept it. When you look at the story of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, and that Philippian jailer, you know, Paul and Silas were beaten with many stripes because they preached the gospel. And they were locked up in jail. And they were feeling sorry for themselves, but they took heart and they began to sing praises unto the Lord. And at the midnight hour, God shook the jail like a ship on a rough sea. God shook that jail and all the bars came open. And that Philippian jailer was in charge over them. If any man would get free, it was death for him. So he drew his own sword to kill himself, for he thought or supposed, surely these prisoners will all go free. But Paul and Silas never moved. Even though the door of their cell was open, they never moved. And when this man saw it, in verse 31, this is what he said unto them. He fell down before them and said, you know, what must I do to be saved? In verse 31, and they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Oh, that God would save all of our children. Oh, that God would save all of our sons and all of our daughters. My brother and sister this evening, you know, it's no good looking at them and saying, maybe they're in drink or in drugs or all sorts of things tonight. But remember this one thing, that Jesus Christ hates sin, but he loves the sinner. God does not hate the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 of John 3. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And here this jailer was saved by simply calling upon the name of the Lord, and the promise was given to him of his whole house. And if you read the story, they were baptized, all of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were saved and sealed by the Spirit of Almighty God. I tell you, if you're saved and you've never been baptized, you need to get down to the water, and you need to get baptized, according to Acts 2, 38, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Simply believe in him as the one who bore your sin, died in your place, was buried, and was raised for your justification. And then now, today, right now, you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Romans 10:13 tells us it's so simple. This is why I've entitled this the Simple Gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means the drunkard, the prostitute, even the homosexual, I don't care what vice they're in. if they genuinely will come and recognize they're a sinner and call upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved. It's not God's will, remember, that any should perish, but that all should be saved. The first prayer for a sinner that we see prayed is given in Luke's Gospel. And I want us just to look at it for a moment this evening. This is the first prayer we see prayed. Luke 18 and verse 13. The publican, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now there was another man before him, and he boasted how good he was and how great he was. God never heard him. But here this poor publican came, and he came the right way. He recognized he was a sinner, and he humbled himself and acknowledged his condition. Every single one of us tonight must acknowledge our condition if we're going to get anything of God. Even those of us that are saved, maybe because we're saved, you can be saved and still sin. Maybe you're backslidden tonight. Maybe you're not where you should be. Maybe you're not in love with the Lord the way you should be in love with the Lord. But if you'll simply come and confess your sins to the Lord and call upon him, God will forgive you and restore you if you need restored. And if you're not saved, he'll save you tonight. Now you are a sinner, and surely you're sorry because of it. I was sorry when God made known to me I was a sinner. I was sorry for my sins, and I called upon the name of the Lord for mercy. Right now, wherever you are, lift up your heart to God in prayer. It does not take a long prayer or a loud prayer, for God is anxious to save you right now. Just say, oh God, I am a sinner. I am sorry. I repent. Have mercy upon me and save me right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to take God at his word, and God will definitely take you at your word. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the word of God. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just take God at his word. When you have done what he has asked, claim salvation by faith according to the word of God. Believe, and thou shalt be saved. No church, no lodge, no good works, no one but the Lord Jesus Christ alone can save you. No minister, no priest, no hierarchy can save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you. Ephesians 2 tells us in verse 8 and 9, for by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now is the time to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 tells us, for he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and a day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Proverbs 27 verse 1 also tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It is not perfectly clear. You know, if you're saying tonight, brother, it's not perfectly clear what you're saying, then you need to read these scriptures over and over till it is clear, until you understand it. Do not give up or give in until you're saved. Every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Your salvation is worth more than all the world is. Did you know that tonight? Your salvation is worth more than all the world. Matthew 8, verse 36 and 37 tells us that. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My friend, this evening there's nothing in this world's belongings or this world can offer that is more precious than salvation. Salvation is more precious than a big house and a good car. In any other thing, there's nothing can be compared or valued with the value of your salvation. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved today. Be sure you're saved. You need salvation above everything else. If you lose your soul, you miss heaven and you lose all. I'm going to say it again. If you lose your soul, you miss heaven and you miss or lose all. May the Lord help you to be saved today. Let me just tell you a little saying that I once read in a little book that a man loaned me. That his father-in-law was a minister. And he had a little book with phrases and sayings that he would write down to use when he preached. And here's one of those little phrases. To lose one's wealth is much. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Many of us say this, and it is really true. And I say it, and others say it. Your health's everything. And that is true, your health is everything. But my friend, tonight, your soul is even more important than your health. Because a man could be dying, and yet of that man saved. And his health in this life never restored to him. His soul is saved. And when he dies, he's absent from the body, and he's present with the Lord. You could be healed today, and yet if you're not saved, you're still lost. Now that's true. People that's not saved can be healed. And yet you could be healed and still lost. Now, I trust that God will save you and heal you. But a most important thing for any man or any woman is to be saved. You know, I had an uncle-in-law, and he was a very wild man. He went to meetings one time. His wife and him had a wee son, and when that wee son came along, he stopped to drink for a time and wised up a bit and began to go along to church and made a profession of salvation. But he never continued on. But I got the message that he was dying and he was in a hospital. And when I got to the hospital, his daughter came out, my cousin, and she was in tears. And she said, "Tommy, I think it's too late. He's gone already." But then a voice called her. And then she asked for me to come in immediately to see him. And he'd woken up and he'd come round. They thought he'd already gone, but he came back around. And he woken up and he sat up in his bed and he looked at me. And I said to him, and I won't mention his name, I said, "Do you want to get right with God?" And he said, "Tommy, I'm so glad you came. I was praying you would come because I need to get right with God." And that man in his dying bed repented of his sins. And he asked God to forgive him. And he called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Right there and then. And he was dead in 20 minutes. But I believe he made provision. I know it was late. I know it was late. And I know that some people say, "Don't believe in a deathbed experience." My friend, the faith on the cross called out in his dying moments, and Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." My, I'll tell you, I don't care where you are or what state or condition you're in, God's word cannot fail and God's word cannot be broken. And it says, "Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I tell you, it was something. It was a humbling experience to go and see a man that they thought was already dead. And he came around and he asked specifically what he wanted. And I pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he repented of his sins and called out on the name of the Lord for salvation. What a privilege. What a privilege for the preacher to see men and women saved. You know, now, don't value anything in this world above that privilege to see people saved. Now, I can save nobody, but God can. Not only can God save, he's made the provision for it through a son. And I want to tell you, too many times preachers are looking for some fancy dandy message, and they miss the simplicity of the gospel message of salvation. My Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. And there's only peace through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Never harbor a grudge. Never harbor a feeling against anyone. Forgive them. Pray for them. And go on with the things of God. He will save you. Not only will God save you, but he'll keep you. The Lord will keep you. He'll save you and he'll keep you. And we're almost finished. I'm not for more than 5 minutes. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Here's what it says. There have no temptation taken you, but as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now this is not down to you. This is, down to God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. My friend, this evening, don't trust your feelings. Your feelings could change, but God's word does not change. Stand on God's promises, they never change. After you're saved, here's three things I want to share with you this evening that you need to keep doing. Three things to practice for spiritual growth after you're saved. Write them down. Three simple little things you need to do after you're saved if you want to go on with God. Number one, pray. That's number one. Once you're saved, you need to pray every day to God. As soon as you get out of your bed in the morning, take a moment and pray to the Lord. And if you can do it again at night before you put your head down, pray to the Lord. Take time and pray. When you pray, you talk to God. Then number two, read your Bible. You need to take time and you need to read the Word of God. The Word of God is life. It's the bread from heaven. The living bread that's come down from heaven, that's the Word of God. When you pray, you're talking to God. But when you read the Bible, God talks to you. The Word of God is God talking to you. So you need to pray and you need to talk to God. Then you need to read your Bible, and that's God talking to you. Many of us can experience, for the Lord's given us a wee verse or a wee scripture that's blessed us, that's strengthened us, a word from the Lord. You know, my father's favorite scripture, and a scripture that changed him, and a scripture that really, all his life, he stood to this one scripture that God gave him. In 1989, God gave him the scripture. Out in an orchard, at a forest called Gilhall, out along the Lurgan Road, out of Tramore. I was in jail, facing jail. And he went to seek God, and God gave him the scripture. Be still and know that I am God. And my friend, this evening we need to be still and know that he is God. Number three, a lot of Christians don't want to do number three. But number one is praying to God. Number two is reading the Bible. That's God talking to you. But number three is witnessing. Number three. If you're saved, you need to be a witness. The Bible says, let your light shine before men. You need to be a witness for the Lord. You talk for God. So number one, you talk to God. Number two, God talks to you. Number three, you talk for God. Yes, we're God's hands and feet and God's mouthpiece. We need to witness the gospel to others for God. That's how it works. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. God wants you to tell others, whether it's by way of a little tract, or whether it's by way of your own testimony. God wants you to be a witness. Three essential things to do once you're saved. pray, read your Bible, and witness. These are the three things. When you pray, you talk to God. When you read your Bible, God talks to you. And when you witness, you talk for God. I tell you, there's a lot of people today talking for a lot of things. And you know, apparently it said on the news the other night, I never saw it, but someone was telling me that the news reader said that if you want people to believe something, all you have to say, the scientists have said. And if you mention the scientists, everybody believes it and swallows it. But yet the Word of God, God's Word is truth. The Word of God says, believe not scientists, so foolishly called. My friend, this evening, I don't care what the scientist says. As far as I'm concerned, I mean it, the scientist can stand on his head or swing of the lights. I have no interest in what the scientist says about anything in this world. I'm only interested in what God says. And the most important thing is to be saved. You need to be saved. Are you saved? And if you are saved, are you doing these three things? Are you as a Christian praying every day? Are you reading your Bible? Are you telling others the good news that Jesus loves them and wants to save them? God bless you this evening. Let us bow our heads while we have a word of prayer this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy mercy and thy grace. Lord, I pray if there's a man or a woman tuned in or would hear this message, it's not saved. May the Holy Spirit work on them and draw them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, if there's one that needs a touch in their body, you are indeed a miracle worker. We saw the other week where you never change, the great miracle worker. You're still the same. And I pray that you'll touch that man or woman or boy or girl in the name of Jesus Christ. Make them well. Father, I ask for the backslider tonight. Restore them and renew them. I pray for your own people, Israel, to bless them because you have commanded us to bless and pray for Israel. Father, I pray for all our nurses and all of our doctors. Keep them safe. Watch over them. Bless our children. Cover them with thy precious blood. Pray for those in government. Give them wisdom, for they surely need it. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee. Into thy hands our keeping. And commit our ways to thee, knowing that thou will indeed direct our paths. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. And we're just going to have a couple of little songs before we go off air tonight. Gary and Ruth singing that Man of Calvary. God bless you all.